Welcome to the Ritual House Podcast, a show about the rituals we practice, the new ones we create, and the many ways rituals help us live deeper, more meaningful, and more connected lives. I'm your host, Tova Leibovic Douglas, and allow me to be the first one to say, welcome home. Welcome back to the Ritual House. Happy almost new moon next week. Happy eclipse season. Happy Mercury retrograde. Wow, we are in it, friends, aren't we? There is a lot happening. And I find for myself during these seasons of, I don't know, astrological, unpredicted nature, I can either flow with and sort of lean into whatever is meant to be and just lean in and let it flow, or it could become quite overwhelmed and rigid, and it impacts me greatly. And I have seen both sides of me, I would say, this week. So if you're out there and you're like holding on for dear life and you're like, why is this happening? I want to say, I see you. I'm with you. And if you're out there and you're like, wow, I'm just flowing with it, I want to say, I see you and I'm with you. And if you have no idea what I'm talking about, that's cool too. There's a lot out there. And I want to remind you that like, most spiritual traditions have some sort of an astrological tradition to it, that we are deeply connected to the stars and the energy. And that doesn't mean that we have to live our lives by them. No, I actually think that that's not the way to do it, meaning to use it predictively. But it does mean that we're in it, and ignoring or thinking that those things do not exist is like just not the way. Okay, there's like a lot happening at the Ritual House, and I wanted to just share that in this intro. We are offering a virtual sort of monthly, let's see what the spiritual forecast is Jewishly and astrologically, happening on Sunday. You can join us. On Monday, I'm running a new moon in LA at Riverbank. Please join us. And there's also opportunities to hop into a circle, a spiritual care circle, or to work one-on-one. And just wanted to share that those things are happening. Oh, also there's an April 16th, I'm holding a soul mapping towards liberation, a way to prepare for Passover. So those are some things that are like happening for the public. I know there's a lot going on for all of us personally. It's really busy. It's a busy time. And also I want to invite you, whether it's with the Ritual House and we gladly welcome you, or it's within your own house, I really urge you to find a way within the busy to pause and to listen to the whisper of your soul and find a way to do that. Because I think if we're not doing that, we are going to get taken by all the energy that is around us. And there's a lot of energy to sort of mind through right now. Okay, this episode today is really wonderful. Dr. Lori Bondino is amazing. She is a psychologist and in like the best, like I love psychologists. I love therapy. You'll hear about my like conflicting like feelings on it and like my love for it. And you'll also just like learn that she's just not like your typical traditional psychologist in the best way possible, meaning her training is just really vast and the way she integrates things is like highly creative. And I think what I loved most about this episode is Dr. Lori's ability to really sort of, I think she's a really amazing role model for living out like what she sees as like her particular truth and her best version of herself, that she can do that. And she helps other people do that. I really love that we talked about creating space and holding space as practitioners. I thought that was like really interesting, her take on it. And I just love how she has a beautiful vision for the mind-body connection and how organization again came up like this episode about how important that is actually for our souls, really, is my language. But I think she'd probably be interested in that language. It was such a fun episode to record. I hope you enjoy it. Here is Dr. Lori. Everyone, this is Dr. Lori Bondino. She has been a practicing clinician for over 20 years. Her professional work fuses integrative health into hospital care, private practice, parent education, academic teaching, and global outreach. Dr. Bundino's work is grounded in the belief that the mind, body, and spirit are interconnected. She uses an embodied methodology to support social, emotional, physical, and cognitive health, which promotes greater awareness and connection. She is a leading advocate for integrating movement and body awareness into psychotherapeutic practice. Her work is helping changing the way we think about health and healing, and she's inspiring people all over the world to celebrate and move together. And I just am so excited that she is here because I've had the privilege of getting to know her through being a parent and a practitioner of different kinds and collaborating and thinking together. And what I love about Dr. Bundino is she's one of the most creative thinkers, but has like a very amazing container in her creative thinking, meaning like there's like a structure and a system, or at least this is how my perception, there's like a structure and a system and a rhythm and a way in order to contain the creative thinking that she holds. And I find that really grounding and inspiring. And she's really shifted the way that I am as a parent and as a human. And it's just like so awesome to have her here to talk all things ritual. Welcome.
Thank you.
Does that resonate with you? That's how I see you.
It does. I literally was just saying that the other day to a colleague, actually a healer. And I was saying how I love organization and structure. And then I was wanting to make sure this person understood me. And I said, but I'm not rigid. Like I have this flexibility within my container. I said that. And I said, because I can totally sit and enjoy a sunset and have structured time where I'm doing nothing. But I also know that I can take on a lot of things all at once and have them all. I will have time for all of it. Hmm. And I love that you resonate with my creativity because yes, I definitely, I think one of my superpowers is making something out of nothing. Like taking random, like I'm a MacGyver kind of person.
What's that word?
Oh, like there was a TV show about this guy that was a MacGyver and he would like take weird things and I think he would like make into like, you know, weapons or protective devices or whatever it was. But it was like this whole show where he would like take a, you know, a piece of trash in a bag and like all of a sudden he had whatever, a balloon. But I use it with children. So it's kind of like, you know, there's a potty accident. It's like, how are we going to maneuver a new piece of clothing to like put on your child? Or we need a Band-Aid, but we only have like a bag and like some type of like rubber band or something like that. And then challenging things like testing the limit is to me really being creative, like thinking outside the box.
What's your sign? Is that too personal of a question?
No. I love my sign. I'm a Libra. So finding balance in everything. I am so a Libra. Yeah.
I was curious with the organization. I was like, does she have Virgo in her?
No, I think I was raised on the East Coast. I feel like I'm a East Coaster that moved to California, to the West Coast, like a West Coast vibe, but East Coast organization. And I'm not shaming West Coasters. We can be organized too, but you know, like that balance of both. But yeah, we had a lot of structure in our house growing up.
Where in the East Coast are you from?
I'm just outside Washington, D.C. in Maryland.
Yeah, there's a vibe there.
Yeah.
Nice. Well, one question that I love to start the show off with is asking, just going back to that childhood house outside of DBC, childhood little Lori. Is there a ritual that you recall that really contained you as a child?
Yeah, I was thinking about that. I actually think about that every time I listen to your podcast. What were my rituals? What do we do? And I think that while ritual tends to create this imagery for me of like lighting candles or having a certain kind of family gathering, our rituals to me seemed more about creating spaces. Mm. And I know this to be true because I still do it today. Our family travels all over the world, my family, my husband, my children, and I. And we're always creating space. Like when we get to a new space, we like make it ours. We do a lot of like, even if I spoke at a workshop the other day and I like walked into the space and I started like moving things and like stacking papers. And I feel like growing up in my house, it was like if you purchased something, you had to like go and put it on the hanger and like put it away. You had to like show that it mattered. Hmm. And there was a lot of rituals like that. And it wasn't like every morning do this, but we did, like we woke up and made our beds. We put our dirty clothes away. Like we had very clear ideas of where things went and how they had meaning and connection to us and value. And so I'm kind of like, is that a ritual? And I think that's the ritual.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so that was our ritual.
I think it totally, organization is a ritual, especially when you're doing it in a way that like is ritualistic, right? Like you go to a space and you recreate it. Not to say that you have to ask me, I'm not the expert. It's why I'm doing this podcast. I want to talk to all people that think about ritual, but I think it for sure is a ritual.
Well, I definitely like it to, maybe I'm rationalizing it, but I like it because if it's a ritual, then it feels, again, less restrictive and rigid and like type A, like, you know, kind of that type of personality, which obviously can come in that territory, but it's not that it has to be a certain way. It just is the intention behind creating that space. Yeah. So the spaces we're in are quite different.
I had a similar childhood, that whole thing of needing to hang something up when you came home from a thing. Yeah, it's like a thing.
Yeah, like there's a spot for your shoes. There's just, yeah.
I'm craving it for myself right now. I'm trying to develop it in my own. I like don't have it naturally in my own brain. Like it doesn't work for me. But I'm like, Mom, can you like help me figure this out? She's like, no, you're like a grown person. Figure it out for yourself. But
yeah, well, I used to be the little girl that used to clean like college girls or older girls' rooms, like my parents' friends' daughters. And I thought it was like so fun. And I might get like a cute like Hello Kitty eraser or pencil from their like their desk or something as like my reward or my, you know, pay. But I felt so much joy in kind of creating someone's space for them and allowing them to have room and intention. I didn't make money on it and like start a show. Like there's so many TV shows that have been created and like people that make money doing this for a living. And I definitely didn't do that.
They charge a lot, these organizers.
I know. I'm like, gosh, I went and got my doctorate. I should have done something else. But I love what I do. I also, when I think of ritual, I was just like writing this down and wanted to share with you is like, I find myself to be so spontaneous, meaning like my schedule every day is different and I love it. And I do like maybe like 10 plus jobs. Like I am a psychologist. I have private practice. I work with families. I specialize with children. And yet I'm also like writing or doing workshops or starting a foundation. You know, I'm doing all these pieces and I've always done that. Mm. And so every day is different and spontaneous. Or like if someone called me and said, let's go do this, like get on a plane, do that. Like I will go. And so a part of me felt like, does that mean I don't have rituals? Because every day is different. So that was a question. But then I was thinking if organization is a ritual, I can take that with my spontaneity.
Oh, it's so interesting. Yeah. I don't think you have to be in one place.
I'm the guest asking the questions, but I'm.
Yeah, no. I mean, I think it's like an interesting question. Like, I think that's what's so cool about being a human, especially today. But I think in general, like, we've always been sort of in movement. I mean, actually, we were more movement, right? Like as nomads, but even not even an ancient, like even if you, I'm like reading this great book right now, like I can't put it down kind of good, called The Books of Jacob, but it's talking about like 1800s in Eastern Europe. It's really long. I warn all listeners and you, it's really good. It's really long. It's really rich, but focused on this really wild character, Jacob Frank, who was a true historical figure, and he was like a messianic figure and was really into rituals, but like orgasmic rituals, like really like pushing the envelope for a lot of Jews to just follow him in Eastern Europe. But you see in this book, like people just traveling from town to town, you know? And so my point is like, we've always been like these nomadic creatures, but we've become so, I don't know, tethered to our real estate. I don't know, to our...
Not us, not my family.
Was that always the case or is that like a new thing?
No, definitely. I have always traveled. I've always loved traveling. I am my best self when I am out in the world exploring and meeting new people and cultures and just really not really knowing what's going next. I mean, there's a known sense of like, oh, we're planning this or we're seeing this, but I love being in nature. I love seeing all that's around. So I've always been that way. And I would say that COVID, one of the kind of silver linings was that it did give us permission to kind of get out of Dodge, we say, and we kind of, you know, were able to Airbnb out our house and see that, you know, really just shifted our whole mindset of what school could look like for our family. I knew it for my clients and other families, but like really for myself. What was right for us, but being minimalist has been such a joy. Maybe that's another ritual, is like not having to, it's kind of like the ownership has shifted where we love sharing our home. And
what do you mean sharing like your things together? You mean?
Well, sharing our things together, but also like other people stay in our home.
And you like it.
Well, we like it because it's like, then the ownership is expansive. It's like, it's a space. It's a dwelling that is inviting for anyone that's there. And then when we're there, we make our home wherever we go.
How do you make your home? You say you make space. Like, what do you do? Like when you get to a new space?
I have a little bit of a whinge where I'm like, oh, like, why is this here? And is there mold or is it old? Or like, how are we going to get rid of smells? And I'm like, I definitely have a moment of like, oh gosh,
I have that.
Like, this is going to be a lot. And I definitely have an incredible Timo because my daughter is like the best version of myself, like two times over. So she just gets into action mode and she like brings out her stuff and she starts designing her room with the things that she's brought in, her crystals and like tapestry or like a furry something, all the different textures, all the yummy textures of her bedding and stuff like that. And my husband goes into like cleaning, which is like totally like my heart could spill over with joy that he's like cleaning a dirty vent or like he's spraying things or whatever.
Who says romance is dead? That's it.
I know. I'm like, yes, you're speaking my heart because that's what I would do too. But yeah. And then it's just kind of like actually moving things out. Like I like space. I don't really want a lot of stuff. So like having a shelf with like barely anything on it brings me joy. I don't want all the little knickknacks. And so, yeah. And then we go to put stuff in that we love, things that we've gathered along the way.
I think there's something here. I really do. I was talking last week with my guest about spring cleaning. Somehow it came up in our conversation. And I really think there's something here. Like, I don't know if it's just like what I'm putting out in the universe because I've been cleaning all morning, literally. That's what I've been doing all day today because it's not my strength. Like I get to that Airbnb and I'm like, oh, we have to leave. Like, I don't leave, but I don't go to the action plan of actually cleaning it in order to like, I'm sure if I was staying there for a month or a year, I would. But for a week, I'm just like, ugh. But I grew up with parents that would do that. Like my mom would go to down the street to whatever shop to get some like flowers, you know, to like make it look, feel like it's our home. Even if it's only a week, it should feel like our home, you know, and there's ways.
I sage.
Right.
I do the things.
Why don't I do, I'm a ritual person. Why don't I do that? That's an interesting thing. Why do I just, I'm like, ooh, forget it. I can't, I'm overwhelmed. I mean, you could psychoanalyze this probably from a psychological perspective.
Well, and you could do it back to me too. Like I hear when we're talking about this, I hear like some of my friends who obviously love me and we love each other, but they know me, right? And they would totally make fun of me. Like put the broom down and the spray and like go and enjoy the beach outside. And I'd be like, I will enjoy that beach. Like I can't wait to go to there. And first I'm going to do this. Like, I'm going to hang up my stuff. And like, once it's hung, and like, they'll be like, well, what if you didn't hang it up? And I could do it. I could totally not hang it up, but it will bring me joy to hang it up. So I would like to. And so I hear this battle of like, I do not want to seem rigid or, you know, like set my ways. And it's also like, okay to be at a certain age where you're like, I just know what feels right. And there's time for all of it. Like I'll have space to do all the things, but first this and then that.
Do you feel like it's really important psychologically to do this for not just for you, but for your clients? Let's say for someone like if I came to you and I'm like, I don't know how to like organize to do spring cleaning. Would you say do the spring cleaning?
I do find it so interesting how our space parallels. There's lots of things that parallel our psychological and emotional states. For instance, I say like our body movements, how we move in the world is a complete parallel process to what emotionally we're going through. So if you imagine like a pathology of rigidity, that person will move and explore the world in the state of their body moving with rigidity. And less flexibility or adaptability within how they even like move quick or slow. There won't be a variation of it. They'll just move in one particular way. And so in my work, it's like you're trying to support the person to have a full range of ways to move so that they're not stuck, right? And this also is parallel in our spaces. So, you know, it's interesting when you go, I love working in families' homes because I want to work and support where challenges and triumphs are happening. And in spaces where a child doesn't have to verbalize what they want because it's just all out at any moment of any time, that's going to impact how they communicate. Kids who have the spaces that they can't find things, that's going to impact how they problem solve and build their frustration tolerance. Parents that don't, they kind of feel like, I don't know what's up and what's down and what's, you know, where's what. They feel that way also in their parenting per se, or in their, you know, organization with their own lives, right? So we tend to do these things in multiple ways. You're like, oh.
I'm like, ooh, right to the wound. Can't find anything in my house. My Austin and the girls are gone. And I'm like, I don't know where anything is. Don't call him. Just figure it out.
Right. So, yeah. So we could dive in that, you know, and I don't mean it in any way as a judgment. I actually think it's there. Here's my creativity and my positivity is that I actually think it's so fantastic that we have an easier space, like cleaning a room, to master this skill that then we can apply to all the other areas, which are more challenging because they're emotional, like parenting or our spouse or our friendships or our work or something like that. So, I mean, yeah, just recently I was having a session and part of our ritual of the session is like, let me see your space. Let's kind of do a little tour and see, like, are we taking care of where we're living, right? Are we taking care of ourselves, right? Or yeah, noticing something new. Kids, especially with virtual, kids love taking me on a tour of their rooms, showing me all the things. And it shows me so much about, you know, how do they keep their favorite things? What are their favorite things? Do they have favorite things?
Isn't it just so interesting, though? Like, I guess I'm just reflecting on my own biases until recently, so recent. Like, organization, like a space, like it matters. And I do care about my space, just to be very clear. I really, really do. But like, it's not my primary operating system, you know? But I'm realizing it is maybe like 50% of the game of figuring out how to like be actually, how can one be spiritual if everything is everywhere? Or if one's, I mean, you can, but I wonder if like they're thinking like the spiritual practice of like finding ways to create organization and systems that work for the individual. It's going to be different for each person. Is really sacred, I would argue. I mean, Judaism talks a lot about it.
Yeah, I like this word about sacred. I was on a retreat, and before we entered into a nature hike, the guide had us take a moment and be really present and aware of what we were about to go into. And I won't do it the same sentence as she gave it. It was so well said. But she was just talking about like, if you're not aware, then that nature could get you. Like, meaning like you could poke into a tree and it like sticks you, or you get poison or something like that. Like, she wasn't saying it in like nature is bad, but just like, if you're not aware, things can happen. And it was such like this big like aha moment because of like, isn't that true? Right?
Right.
If you're not aware, things are gonna get you. And it was just a simple thing, right? It was just simple of like, take a moment, look around you, notice where your jacket starts and ends or your backpack, like what is going to brush against, like how far are you, like what are you bringing in so you can make sure you bring it out. It was all these little like checks, and they were, again, this parallel to life of like, and I had this moment as I love nature and I've hiked with my kids since they were little, and yet I don't think I always do that little kind of blessing moment before I enter the hike. I just feel like I'm really present and I'm like enjoying nature, but it's made me think about it a lot of like entering that space and having that kind of sacred connection. And I am finding more and more, I'm in New Zealand and the Maori culture is, and I'm hearing this a lot too with our workshops I'm on. We're talking about ancestors and connecting to those that have given us the land and like really giving some type of a prayer or blessing before we start. I'm hearing that more now than I've ever had in my life. And there's just this honoring of like, we're about to do something. And so we take a moment and we kind of create. And it's interesting because I'm kind of riffing here, but it's like in psychology, you have to create space. Like you are, the therapeutic process is a space.
Yeah.
Like I would tell my clients, like, I'm not here to do the work. Meaning like, if you think, oh, this therapy thing doesn't work, I would say then you're not in it for the right reasons because it's not supposed to work. Like I'm not here to like work on something like there's something wrong and I'm like fixing it. I'm just holding a space. Mm-hmm. So it becomes such a kind of overarching theme here.
Yeah. I used to call myself the space maker. That's what I, when I'm still, yeah. Cause I feel like that's all I do is create a space for, to facilitate and guide people in groups or whatever. And I'm actually kind of like militant on certain things with creating sacred space. Like not that there's one way to do it, but that like different practitioners, I think, have different ways of doing things, which is just beautiful. But sometimes I'll go to something and I feel like chit chat is totally great. But then like once we start something, chit chat can come in, but like it's not the like primary way, you know, of the sacred container. And then like I need to like whatever it was to create the space. So sometimes that's candles, sometimes that's creating the circle, sometimes there's an altar, you know, whatever the way was for the ritual. We then need to somehow like end it and then can go back to chit chat. But there's some practitioners that let the like candle just go, you know, until it, and that drives me crazy. Like actually, like I'm like, no, we're in sacred space. And there's not to say that chit chat is not sacred, but I want the like the ending. Like there's like the start and the finish is so important because in our lives we don't have that, you know? I don't know.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It's why I like, you know, not that it's healthy for you. I tell people not to watch TV before bed, but the reason why sometimes I watch TV before bed is because it has a very clear beginning, middle, and end. Very nice way to wrap up the night, especially when you're working with clients all day where you're not wrapping up anything, meaning it's an ongoing process that there's no necessarily ending to, hopefully. It's all just uphill and explorations. So having that ending is really helpful. A good book, right? I'm looking in my office right now. I have these two like cards on the wall and I like pick them. They're like big, but they're like almost like a kind of a inspiration card. And both of them I picked were about space between. And I just find it interesting that we're talking about this and I'm just like looked up. And the space between is my like, it's not my kryptonite, but it is like the hardest part. It's when I know I'm like not at the beginning of something and not at the end. It's like just waiting, but I know it's like closer to the end than the beginning. And I'm not just like in it and experiencing it. This might all sound vague when I'm saying it out loud, but.
Are you saying like, let's just say like towards the end of school, like you're in grad school and you're like ending and it's like the last like 6 months. Is that what you're talking about?
Absolutely. Yeah, like right before we're moving again, you know, right before you're waiting to go like start a new school or start a new program.
And you've been doing it a lot.
Yes. Yeah.
A lot of practice of this.
Yes.
So what do you do in the space between that helps you?
I think right now I'm just aware that that is my area of like, I'm like, okay, yeah, there's lots of feelings. I feel a little unsettled. I start to like want to make plans, you know, and then I have to remind myself just like be here. There's nothing needs to happen. Yeah. I think getting into nature, connecting with people seems to help me stay where I am. But I think my mind races.
When you travel, do you like build community when you're on the go?
Yeah, so much.
How do you do that?
Well, fortunately, right now we joined a community because we brought our children to a school and there are other international families. So I feel like we feel like we all got dropped. We say we like got dropped into this like alternate universe of like excitement and that commonality of like all of us seeking a community and a new experience. So it's like you instantly like you kind of push past the chit chat and you go right into like we're all like supposed to be together.
You're in it. Yeah.
Yeah. And like kindred spirits. And so that's just been enjoyable. But I think it's also just like we say yes to everything. So it's yes, there's a concert. Yes, there's a market. Yes, there's a sports game. Yes, you know, like there's a parade. There's an Easter, whatever. There's a hunt that was just this weekend. But there's like everything and we go to it. And so then you see people. And you talk and you connect. We definitely have met people along the way that will push back of like, well, you're not going to be here forever. So why should I know you kind of thing? And then other people that are willing to get to know you, even if it's just for a moment. And we definitely like my favorite thing to tell my children is like, we're about to meet potentially the people that could be in our lives forever. We're about to meet our best friends and we don't even know they exist.
Even though you're on the other side of the world and you don't think you're going to live there forever, you still feel that potential.
Yes. And we do. Like anywhere we've gone, you collect these amazing spirits, these people, and they can keep, you can keep them forever if you want them. And they want you, obviously. I mean, there's a reciprocity that has to happen. But I love the idea and I love it for my children that they collect these friends. And I've collected friends my whole life that are like, it's not about like a sorority of like masses of people, but like really genuine friends that are just like your heart. And you know, when you connect with them, it's like you never left and you may not see them for months or years, but then when you do, you're right back.
Yeah. It's beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I just love that you don't know they exist and then they do.
I do like that too. That's great. That's a really good framing for like every new school year for kids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's really interesting. It's like there's all these different ways to live. I guess that's what I'm thinking about how we're sort of prescribed a particular way, like stay in one place, you know, like, but there's just like so many different ways to live and so many different opportunities. I feel like I'm actually the opposite. I feel like I'm in one place like my whole life, essentially. And people come and go from this place. So I feel like I'm a collector. I totally seem to like draw in the people that are going to be here for 2 years max and they leave. It's like my, I'm like, I want to be one of those people being like, how committed are you to this place? Because I have so many friends spread throughout the world, which is great, but it's mainly because I met them here and they've left.
Yeah. Yeah. In different stages, right, of our lives, people come in and yeah, different reasons.
You also are engaged with movement in lots of ways as a psychologist. What was your calling to do that? Is there like something that connects you to the movement, spiritually speaking or not? I'm just curious, like how, because it's like not the most conventional, right, way to do psychotherapy.
I just was writing about taking risks and I wrote it like this. I wrote it that I was a risk taker from the moment I was a child who stomped my feet and reached out my arms and like expressed my feelings to the fullest in front of my parents. Like I have always embodied my emotions and everyone that knew me knew about it. Like I definitely wasn't quiet about my feelings. And it just felt right to me. And then I was the, you know, my, if you've heard me talk, you might have heard me say this before, but I say like I tap danced my book reports and learned math by playing basketball. And I just was always moving and learning and finding different ways to learn. I was definitely not the straight path kind of person. And at first and still, I was met with, you know, that's so difficult. Like, why don't you just stay straight? And it's just not how I process, not how I learn. And then I was super fortunate to really follow my passion. And I was always interested in, I was a dancer. I played sports too, but I was always a dancer. But to me, dancing was like expressing yourself. It wasn't just, I mean, yes, I was like strict ballet and tap and jazz and hip hop, but I definitely used it as like, this is communicating feelings and this is sharing stories. It's like, it has narrative to it and purpose. I did theater as well. And like I said, I was fortunate that I found a field where as I was studying psychology also, actually in high school, I took a program called Dance for the Special Needs Child in New York City. And it was all about this idea of dance movement therapy and understanding how emotions are felt in the body and expressed through movement. Hmm. And then I immediately went into my bachelor's with psychology and dance, but dance theory, kinesiology, anatomy, understanding the body, how we hold the body, how we express through the body, and then continued on into my master's and my doctorate, always thinking that to me, psychology is embodied and it's exciting. I definitely had like a fight with the world a lot of times of like, why aren't people seeing it the way that it just makes sense to me? And a lot of pushback, like how is psychology anything to do with dancing or movement or people thinking to this day that I'm a dance teacher and I love dance teachers, but I'm not a dance teacher.
Right, right.
However, more so now, this idea of the mind is embodied, you know, Dr. Daniel Siegel's work, interpersonal neurobiology work, and so much more, right? Somatics and even just integrating energy work and science, like all the fields are coming together and starting to support or at least be acknowledged.
Does that make you happy?
It does. It does very much so. I definitely can say like, welcome. Like I feel like, you know, I didn't invent this stuff. It's not mine,
right.
But it just has always made sense to me.
You've been in the work for a long time.
Always, always, always. And I meet a lot of professionals in the field that kind of had to go to the darkest places to kind of rise up to who they are now. And they had to make choices and often faltered along the way to get to the insight. And I find it interesting that I just kind of followed my passion. Yes, I was hit with like reactions, but I still was like, but this just makes sense.
What made you so certain of that?
It's just like a felt sense. It just made sense to me. It felt easy. Not easy like the easy pass course. I mean, there's challenges in it, but you know, I saw it work too. I feel like the excitement about embodied work when you're working with, you know, I specialize with children, but I work with geriatric, I've worked with adults, I've worked with dual diagnosis, I've worked adolescence. And it's so incredible. Like, you can't write this stuff, but when you're in a session and you're not just talking, but you're actually exploring and looking at the body and playing and just being creative, it just resonates with the person you're working with, versus just, not to minimize the feel, but when it's only talking, I feel like it only goes so far.
No, I mean, I definitely agree. And I don't understand how to, I mean, it's so funny. Last episode, you should really listen to it. It's like, we just talked about, he was really like, therapy does really not that much, you know?
I get it. I get disheartened though, because I don't see therapy the same as maybe others have experienced it.
Right.
And so it's like heartbreaking. And I feel like the field needs to, you know, like, you know, rise up and say a little bit more, because it can be so, so empowering and so supportive. But I don't sit there and just talk about all the negatives or dwell in the past. It's just really about being present and exploring and getting to learn how to be your best self, but best self meaning like to know yourself.
Yeah.
And really connecting people together. I can't think of what better than that. I mean, we all have to live together and it can be so fun. And I see, I mean, I know you know this about me, but I think kids are, they're so capable, so competent, and they just blow my mind. The things they say, I'm like, oh, you're brilliant. Like, even their like quote worst behaviors, I'm like, that's perfect. Like, of course you did that. Like, that's brilliant. Amazing.
But I think like there's something here about, we are in this moment where things are changing. I think therapeutic, I mean, I've been in therapy my whole life. I went to my parents at like age, I don't know, 15. I'm like, I need a therapist, you know? And they were like, okay. And I had to find the therapist. But so I've been in talk therapy for, and lots of different kinds of therapy. And I'm into it. Like, I mean, a lot of times I wonder why I didn't become a therapist, you know? It really makes a lot of sense. I guess I end up kind of doing it a little bit as a spiritual counselor. It's very similar. Obviously, I can't claim that I'm a therapist and I didn't study it, but my angle is spirituality and Judaism and like how to help people sort of like, or kind of more coach them, I would say, to propel them forward in their own journeys. But I think we're at this moment where like therapeutic models have to be different. It cannot be just the like way that it was. I think people are needing, they're wanting to like change. They're wanting to move forward, you know, and sitting and talking about the past, like, it's not terrible. It's good to sort of know like where you come from and all that. But gosh, I did that for a really, 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 really long time.
Yeah. And I guess it's also, I mean, absolutely, we can go in the past. There's nothing against that, right? It's like knowing the therapeutic intention, maybe. If the intention is like, oh, that therapy thing is all about being like stuck and just every day going into the drudge of it and talking about the negative things and then I'm supposed to feel better, that might be problematic. But if its intention is to really get me to understand myself and that kind of lineage or where it came from and the rituals and the past patterns and the programming, then like that should be really interesting and exciting to explore.
Yeah. And like, thank goodness we have so many different beautiful ways to explore it today. I mean, like, feelings are now like cool to have, for example.
Like, we're supposed to be human beings.
We're supposed to feel things. And I'm so grateful for all of the years of therapy, just to be clear, in case any of them are listening. You know, I love them. I'm into it. I just think there's like lots of different ways to do it today.
It is a conversation that people are having and their thoughts about therapy. It used to be taboo, like, don't do it unless something's really wrong. And then that would be like, don't tell anyone about it because you wouldn't want to tell people your problems. Yeah, that would be bad, right? But now it's like everyone's telling their record and like spilling their receipts all over, like everywhere. And so maybe we might get to a little bit of more of that flex container where it's like where you tell it and how you share it and your intention behind it could be a healthy, holistic way where you're incorporating, you know, spirituality, religion, nature, community, movement, voice, art, all the things, right?
Oh my gosh. So interesting. It's going to be really interesting how these children are going to grow up with all of these opportunities to really like dive inward in a way that like can be themselves. Like, what kind of adults are they going to be?
Oh, yeah. I say, both my children, but I'm like, can I be you when I grow up? Like, I think it's so exciting when they do things. I'm like, you guys are pretty awesome. Just the way they're like, oh, we can think this way or let's heal ourselves that way. They have like all these choices.
Well, I love the way you are. And to close, I would love if you have any ritual that I know you definitely create spaces wherever you go, but is there another ritual that you just really would love to share with us?
I think, yes, there is, because it's actually a desire of mine to do more. And so maybe if I say it out loud, it will be happening. I put it at the ritual house, so now like I have to. And it's really to get out and dance, like put on great music. I find myself envisioning myself outside in nature. So I look like a complete wackadoo. Like I'm like literally on the beach or in the nature or the sand, whatever, moon, light, all the things. And just like when I think of the times where I have been in like hysterical laughter, like the best joy of my life, there is rhythm, there is drum beats, there is dancing, and it is so joyful. We used to have a rule in our family that if you got up from the kitchen table, you had to dance. Like you couldn't stand up unless you were dancing. So like people would dance to go get the whatever water or like go to the bathroom or if they just need to get wiggles. But yes, so get out and dance, move. Don't take it for granted. It's part of our cultures, our history, our lineage, dancing, moving.
I love that.
We should have like boy-girl dances and like all meet up and dance together.
Have you seen those like silent discos on the beach in Venice?
Yeah, silent discos. Yeah. Yes. Yes. So yeah, I'll be at those.
Great. I'll join you. Let's dance through life.
Let's dance through life.
Yeah. I like that. Beautiful. Thank you so much for being here. Please tell people where they can find more about you, look you up, book a session if you have room in your calendar, that kind of thing.
Yes. I said I am a yes person, so I always have space. I feel like there's always space. So yes, my name, Dr. Lori Baudino. So it's Dr. and then Lori is LoriBaudino.com. DrLoriBaudino.com. And then all my social media is Dr. Lori Baudino. So it's pretty easy. And absolutely reach out, connect. I love collaborating. I love supporting families and children. So, and I love talking to you. It was such a joy.
Yay. Thank you. Thank you. Such a fun episode. The Ritual House in its inception is just to get all the most awesome people on here to really just talk about ritual and to talk about how we can do ritual differently and how we do ritual in our everyday lives. And I love it. I love it. It makes me really, really so happy to talk to Dr. Lori about her experience with ritual and like how she integrates that in her life as a human, as a mom, as a practitioner. It just like makes me really happy. Okay. So the rituals for the week. Spring cleaning time. I think we got to spring clean. I think making it a ritual would be really amazing. I think I talked about this already, but I just want to like invite you to like clean one area of your house and to really make it an intentional time to do that. So that's one ritual I'm recommending for this week. Another ritual that I invite you to do is to do something for the new moon, which is happening on Monday, April 8th. It's happening, the new moon. I really invite you to do something for that new moon. Really. Write out your intentions that you have for this month. Read about it. Learn about the new moon. What is this new moon? Join us on Sunday or Monday. But find a way to really celebrate, mark a new moon. I think if more of us did that, we would be creating like ripples that really impact our society. Because if we're really conscientious and conscious of like tapping into the energy of the moment and we're pausing and we're doing it ritualistically, and preferably if we're doing it with other people that are like-minded, you don't have to, but that's just like an added bonus. We are then really creating spaces for containing something much more than us, really. Something beyond us. And I think we're needing that in a world, again, with all the war and all the violence. We are needing for us to double down on the tools that we have to make our personal world as whole, as healing, as peaceful as possible so that we can counteract that. I really believe that. And I'm not saying in a place of ignoring it, do all the work to not ignore, but from a place of like deep spiritual wellness, from a place of seeing the shadow and finding the light, like do that. So with a new moon ritual, gather a couple people together You can light a candle. And the main part of a new moon ritual, in my opinion, are creating intentions for yourself and actually being witnessed in those intentions. So if anything, write out intentions, say them out loud, and let people hear you say them out loud. There's so much more to them. Like, it's really great to be guided by a new moon facilitator. So if you can find a way to do that, I like highly recommend it, but find a way to step in. And then the third ritual, we're doing three, is I really like the ritual that Dr. Lori talked about dancing when you leave the table. So like, let's all do that. I'm doing that with my family this week. Dance when you leave the table, dance when you go to the car, bringing in some movement into your life on an everyday basis. Feeling in that joy of spring, I think will like bring joy to the world. Okay. I'm so glad you're here. Again, thank you for being here. Thank you for following along. Thank you for sharing it. Thank you for writing a review. Grateful for each and every one of you. Seeing you, sending so much love and care in this time where we are all just needing so much more love and care. Really, I'm hugging you from afar. I mean it. Take care. Thank you for listening to the Ritual House podcast. Please be sure to follow the show on whichever platform you are listening to this right now so that you'll never miss an episode. And as we grow the show, we want to hear about the rituals that are meaningful to you. We invite you to share your ritual practices with us. You can DM us at theritual.house on Instagram or find us on our website, www.theritual.house. Also, as a new show, your feedback is really important to us. Please head on over to Apple Podcasts and write us a review. And if you enjoyed this episode, why not share it with a friend? We'll see you back here next week to continue the ritual revolution. In the meantime, I'm wishing you a week filled with intention and attention. Take good care.